Tonight on PBS, Ken Burns, who did The Civil War in 11 Hours and Baseball in 18, begins his newest documentary series on jazz. Critic Ken Tucker looks at whether Burns does for music what he did for American history and sports.
With the 17-plus hours of Ken Burns' new 10-part project, Jazz, the auteur becomes a victim both of his subject matter and his own success. Nowadays, every cable franchise from A&E's Biography to MSNBC's Headliners and Legends has copied the visual and oral style that Burns perfected with The Civil War, to the point where a new work by the creator himself seems like self-parody. And as for jazz music, well, yes, this is a unique American art form, but there are only so many times you can hear Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington proclaim geniuses before you're going to say, "Okay, okay, I get it already." I've listened to enough jazz on my own to know that the claims made for Armstrong as trumpet soloist, as entertainer, and Ellington as composer, as bandleader, are unassailable. In particular, Burns deems Armstrong so crucial to his enterprise that he finds a way to include the trumpeter in every one of jazz's 10 episodes, which span the entire last century. But jazz, for all the lilt and might of its music, plods in the editing room. Decade after decade trudge past, tagged with historical perspective like so many visual post-it notes. World War II stuck in here, civil rights demonstrators jammed in there. And you begin to notice a pattern. If you don't make Burns's pantheon, that is, if you're not Louis or Duke, Benny Goodman, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, or John Coltrane, you get a brisk 5 or 10 minute segment encapsulating your life, work, and a quick judgment from a worthy critic such as Gary Giddens or Stanley Crouch. Thus are Sidney Bechet, Ella Fitzgerald, Artie Shaw, Count Basie, and, most egregiously to my taste, Thelonious Monk, dispatched by Burns to make way for more examples of the greatness of Armstrong and Ellington. If that's the way Burns wanted to play the game, fine. But then why do we also hear this in the voiceover narration written by Jeffrey C. Ward?
No one in jazz risks more than the bebop tenor saxophonist, Dexter Gordon.
Really? No one in jazz risks more than Dexter Gordon? More risks than the other giants of jazz did? Where the Civil War spoke the language of history and baseball worked the metaphor of physicality, jazz must deploy the language of criticism, which in this case frequently means a cascade of superlatives. There's been some advanced criticism that Burns suddenly collapses the last 40 years of the genre into the final installment. Personally, I found it a relief. Given the essentially conservative interpretation of jazz presented here, once Armstrong and Ellington die, in 1971 and 74 respectively, Burns's energy dissipates. Clearly, his heart's just not in locating the precise value of figures as various as the Art Ensemble of Chicago or the bassist Charlie Mingus. By all means, watch jazz, with its great chunks of Armstrong and Ellington, but don't expect to experience this music as the critic Otis Ferguson once wrote, an emotional thing, capable of taking a man clear out of himself.
Ken Tucker is critic at large for Entertainment Weekly.